It's called In Pursuit of a Better Life, and we're making our way through Ecclesiastes, and I'm so glad that you're joining us today. I'm excited about this message, this word that God just gives to us every week. And so, when we start a new year, it's always a great time to just really reflect on things, isn't it? And to reflect on kind of where you are and where you're going. And so over the last couple weeks, last week, we went through chapters 1 and 2 in Ecclesiastes, and Solomon's talking about life under the sun. And he tried to find fulfillment, and we saw that he tried to find fulfillment in wisdom, in pleasure, in his work, in money, in women. You know, he had 700 wives. That's got to be pretty hard. And he looked at all of these things, and he's journaling, so to speak, this life. He's reflecting on it. We find out later on in chapter 11 that he's very much speaking to the next generation. And so he's an older gentleman at this time, and he's writing, and he's reflecting, and he's saying, look, I've tried all the things of the world. And he did. He was the wealthiest man in the world at that time. Wisest man who ever lived, the Bible tells us, apart from Christ. And so he looks back at all these things, and he said, he calls them meaningless. He calls them chasing after the wind. And so again, he's giving us warning, and he's telling us to take heed to gain insight from what he has learned. And you know, one thing that I've learned over time is that sometimes a good use of my time is to work really hard. And then sometimes a real good use of my time is to rest, because I need rest. Sometimes a good use of my time is to stop and think a little bit, right? And then another good use of my time would be to stop just thinking and get something done, you know. I love John Mellencamp. He has this song called Take Some Time to Dream. And that song title comes from his grandmother. He used to tell him when he was younger, take a little time to dream, because your dream just might save us all. And so, you know, we have to understand the seasons and the times that we're in, and we have to understand this is a time for rest, and this is a time for thinking, and this is a time to work really hard with my hands. So let me ask you, do you know what time and what season you are in right now in your life? You know, we only have a limited amount of time. We all have 24 hours in a day, right? And no one gets any more and no one gets any less. I was telling my wife the other day that I wanted to calculate how many seconds the average person lives. And it's about 2.5 billion seconds. Isn't that sobering? Do you realize that a human being cannot count up to 2 billion? You don't have enough time in your life to count to 2 billion. When you hit those higher numbers, it takes about 3 or 4 seconds just to say one of the higher numbers. And so the average person lives under 3 billion seconds. That should help us to understand and put some perspective on how limited our time is on earth. And I could see some of you getting your calculators out right now, calculating your time. But listen, God has chosen this place and time for you. You know, back when Abraham Lincoln was alive, that was his time. But Abraham Lincoln, he was born, and then he died, because that was his frame of time. And your great-grandparents, they lived in a certain period of time. And they were born, and then they died within that frame of time. Does that make sense? And you will take up space on this earth for a segment of time, and you will be born. You were born, right? And there will come a point when you'll have to come to the end, because that's just the way that God has created life under the sun that Solomon talks about. So here's what Solomon says. Turn with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1, sort of a familiar passage, chapter 3, verse 1. If you don't have your Bible with you today, you can just follow with us on the screen here. Here's what he says. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. We just talked about that. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So I want you to imagine this. Everything in your life, let me get my box over here, but everything in your life, the writer here says, there's a time for. And so if you'll just think about your time frame as this box right here, this is your time frame. And there's a time to be born inside of this time frame, and there's a time to die. And there's a time, like what I was saying, even just kind of in the micro part of your life, there's a time to rest, and there's a time to work really hard, and a time to think, and that sort of thing. And so I want you to keep this in mind. We're going to sort of refer to it quite a bit during this message. So what he's saying is all these things, the good, the bad, the ugly, it goes inside of this time that you have. So here's the question. What are you doing with your time? What is your attitude toward time? Is your time yours? Is your time for pleasure? Is your time for seeking after gain and money? Is your time for some of the things that Solomon experienced that we talked about last week? What is the purpose of your time? And here it is. Let me encourage you today. Your life is precious, and your time is precious because your time is part of your life, right? And God has you here for a reason and a purpose. And how we use up the time that we have in the amount of space that we have on this earth is very important in God's eyes, and I hope that we will gain perspective on that today. So really, for us, we are left to manage our time and to find out what are the most valuable things and what is not valuable. In fact, what Solomon says next in verse 9, he says, "What gain has the worker for his toil?" And he says in verse 10, "I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy." And so he's saying, you know, where is the gain? In all of this activity, where is the gain? It's funny because he said that last week too in chapter 2. Where is the gain? Well, that's really a big question, isn't it? Where is the gain? He says, there's a time for everything, to be born, to die, to plant, to pluck up. But what is the gain in all of that, in all of that activity, in all of the work, in all of the toil? And remember, he's very wise. He's a very wise person. He's reflecting. And he doesn't want to waste his own time. In fact, Solomon was pretty much a go-getter, constantly doing things. He was building and constructing and expanding things all the time. He wasn't just wealthy, he was wise. And he wasn't just wise, he was a what I call a blue chip person, just constantly building and thinking and doing and constructing. And here he is reflecting here, and he says, what is all of this for? What is all of this activity under the sun for? And that's why we need to answer this question in our own lives. What is the gain? Where is the lasting value? I'll tell you, when I was going through this, I was reflecting back on my own life about 15 years ago. My brother and I had ran and developed a business for about 11 years. And out of the blue, I called him and I said, hey, I need to meet with you. And we sat down and I said, I feel like God is calling me into ministry and I'm going to have to step out of this. And why? It's because I knew that there was a calling on my life, a specific calling that God was leading me towards. And I didn't want to keep wasting time. And I didn't want to keep stalling. And so think about that. Think about your time on this earth. Think about what Solomon is saying. There's a time and a season for everything. And if this is all there is, if life here on earth is all there is, you will ultimately gain nothing. In fact, you'll lose it all. Trudy Seifert came to me last week and she says, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it all with you. And so you get all this gain, and you're like, you're just wondering. This was Solomon at the end of his life. He had tremendous gain. He says, what is all this gain for? But here's what I want you to think about. Don't lose heart. Look what he says next in verse 11. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. In its time. And I love this. There's a time for everything, and he's made everything beautiful in its time. There is a beauty in the time and the season that you are living in. There's a beauty in it. And it's finding that beauty in this time and season that you're living in. Then look what he says in verse 11. He says, also, he has put eternity into man's heart. He's made everything beautiful in its time. So think about your time. I want you to know he's made everything beautiful, even the bad and the ugly. He's made everything beautiful in its time. And then he says that he has put eternity into man's heart. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, he's saying we have an eternal purpose. We have an eternal purpose. He has given each of us a God-given awareness, right? An eternal, a heart for eternity, a desire, this inkling inside of us for something more, something eternal. And he's given us that eternal purpose, that there is something more than this world. I love C.S. Lewis, and here's what he says in his book, Mere Christianity. He says, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. If I search around, and in the end, I got to keep having more and more and more, and at the end of my life, I find all of that to be fruitless. This is what Solomon was saying. Then I have to realize that I was made for another world. I was made for something more than this. And the last part of that verse, in verse 11, the last part of that verse says this, so that he, which is man, cannot find out that what God has done from the beginning to the end. We don't know what God is up to from the beginning to the end. And you see, that's the mystery. You can't know or understand everything that God is up to on this earth. He is working in ways that you cannot see. And you're not going to be able to figure that out. And that's why in the framework of time, that we live by faith inside the framework of time, as we live in this life under the sun, as Solomon talks about. So as we live this life under the sun in the framework of time, we live by faith, trusting in Him. And maybe right now, in this season that you're in, you're struggling with your faith. And you're wondering why certain things in your life are so discouraging and so frustrating. And maybe this message today is for you, because I promise you there is so much more. There is so much more. And we find that more, and listen, that eternal perspective, here's what we find when we gain that eternal perspective. We find the joy and the hope and the meaning in this life, the here and now life. That's where how we find the meaning and the hope and the peace that surpasses all understanding that we talked about last month. We find that in the framework of time as we set our hearts and our minds on eternity. Does that make sense? So listen, that's a message for you today. And that's a message for me today, that we set our hearts on eternity. And that's what Solomon is saying here. I want us to continue. Look at verse 12. I perceive, he says. Now, what he's doing is he's studying, and he's going, okay, now I'm looking back at all these things. I perceive that there is nothing better for them, for people, than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Let's continue. I perceive, here he says it again, that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done it for that people fear before him. Verse 15, that which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. And so here's what we learn in this last part. Two things. Living in time, okay? So we learn living in time. Remember the box down here. As we're living in time, verse 12 tells us, there is nothing better than to be joyful and do good, to eat, drink, and take pleasure in what you do, right? And I love this. This is God's gift to man. He has gifted you with this temporary opportunity to live, be joyful, do good, and to see beauty in every moment. And remember, look at verse 11, back at verse 11. God has made everything beautiful in its time. So we are to live in time, right? But we are to live for eternity. That's number two. Living in time is number one, but we are to live for eternity. In verse 14, he says, I perceive whatever God does endures forever. And remember, he's put eternity in our hearts. And whatever he does endures forever. So we're to fix our eyes on the one that endures forever. Time is limited, but God is not, right? And eternity is not. God and eternity are forever. He is an eternal God. And he has put eternity in our hearts. And when I live for eternity, what happens in the framework of my time is I start to see the beauty in things that other people may not see the beauty in. And I can enjoy the sunset a little bit more. And I can savor the things that God has done in my life. And I can also thank him for my losses because it has shaped me and molded me into being a better man of God for him, for his glory. And so then we take that good and the bad and the ugly and a time for war and a time for peace and the good things and the bad things inside that frame of time. And we can rejoice because it's a gift, he says. It's a gift that he gives to us for a very short period of time. And I hope this puts perspective on things, because last week we looked at the perspective of life under the sun, just living like the rest of the world, right? Well, today is really about a life with a perspective for eternity. So when I live for eternity, what happens in the framework of time can be enjoyed. I can enjoy it. Our time here is just a small time of preparation for my eternity. And so all I'm doing here is I'm making the most of my time here to prepare myself for all eternity. And as I'm preparing my time here, I'm investing in the places that God tells me to invest in. And when he tells me to go, I go. And when he tells me to bless, I bless. When he tells me to heal and help, I heal and help. You see, and when he directs me and he directs my steps, I do what he calls me to do here on this earth inside of my time frame. Let me give you an analogy. I got this from Tony Evans. When a mother is pregnant for 9 months, the time that the baby is growing and developing in the mother's womb is not an end unto itself. It's a preparation for something to come. It's a preparation for something bigger. And why does the mother eat right and take care of herself? Because she wants her baby to be healthy in the time to come. And I hope you're making the connection there. See, God is, it's not quite time for us to move on to the outside world like a baby, to our eternal home. But what's happening is he's growing us and he's shaping us, and he's using this time frame for his glory and for our benefit. For his glory and for our benefit. And so, and I want you to see this, this is going to be on a slide behind me here. Pursuing a better life means gaining an eternal perspective. Gaining an eternal perspective. And some of us need to hear that today. Some of us are desperately in need of this word today. And maybe you're frustrated and you're looking for answers right now. And I'll assure you, if your perspective is earthly and you're trying to find the happiness and the joy here, you're going to end up on your deathbed one day like my uncle when he got very serious. He was laying on his deathbed. My brother and I stood beside him, and I'd never seen him get so serious in all my life. And the only thing he talked about were words and things that he had never said. I've never heard him say, "I love you. Here's what I want you to do for my wife. Here's how I want you to help her." And so things get real serious when we start running out of time. Don't wait till the end. Gain an eternal perspective right now. Romans 8:28, Paul says, "You'll know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose." Our true fulfillment and satisfaction, it's not found on this earth. That's not where our true fulfillment and satisfaction is found. You'll see and you'll notice we've got all these things to make life happier, make life more comfortable. Do you realize, can you imagine living 200 years ago churning butter? All right, let's get real here, all right? Or going out and you know, having to live off the land. It was only a couple hundred years ago people were doing this, maybe even 100 years ago, some. But we live in so much comfort and so much, we live on easy street compared to people 200 years ago, but yet the suicide rate today is off the charts compared to 200 years ago. Isn't that something? What do you think it is? Is it because of comfort? Is it because, is the reason their suicide rate was so down is because they were so comfortable and they had so much? And they had so many things? Their perspective was different. And I think that the reason the suicide rate is up is because we're dependent so much on stuff and the things of this world that will never satisfy, and we'll keep chasing and chasing, and this thing will get old and we'll buy something new, and that thing will get old and we'll buy something new. And the reason we keep chasing and chasing is because we're looking for life in lifeless things, and we can only find life in the Son of God. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the life giver. We cannot find life in lifeless things. We fix our eyes on him. So in closing, I'm going to ask Mike Mitchell to come on up. As he's making his way up here, you'll notice at the end of this passage, Solomon said, I know whatever God does endures forever, and he wraps it up by telling us to fear God. And really, that's an Old Testament way of just saying, revere him, keep him high and exalted, keep him above all things, or you'll make all these things your life. And I can't wait till next week, because he wraps this entire book up. And he says the same thing. He says this continually, to fear God. Keep him first. Keep him high exalted above all things. Gain real perspective. Keep an eternal perspective. Well, Fanny Crosby, here's a picture of Fanny Crosby right here. Her life frame was 1850 to 1915. She wrote, get this, 8,000 hymns. She was blind at birth. When she was born, a traveling doctor noticed that the baby's eyes were just wet, and he put this mustard ointment made for muscles in her eyes when she was a baby, and she went blind. And from birth to the end of her days, she was blind. Well, she has written hymns and written music since she was just a little girl. And at age 8, she wrote this song. And I wanted to read this song to you, and then we're going to sing one of her songs. And she says this, at age 8, she wrote this, oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and won't. Let's stand.